Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Take the oath, Senator?
I am.
I, Barack Hussein Obama,
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear
that I will execute the office of President of the United States faithfully.
That I will execute
the office of President of the United States faithfully. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
I don't know. Are you confused? Chief Justice Roberts was confused. The president was confused. I hope you're not confused. As a matter of fact, you proved to me by being where you are that you're not the confused type, because you listen to the Michael Savage program on the Savage Nation each and every night, Monday through Friday. Bob Grant sitting in for Michael Savage. And looking forward to talking to you and to you and to you. An incredible day yesterday. It depends, of course, on who you voted for and what your political affiliations might be as to whether it was a great day or not. Perhaps it's too soon to say it's a terrible day, but I know many people who obviously were not interviewed by the mainstream press, were not happy. But I want to hear from you and whether you were happy, whether you are worried, whether you are concerned, what may have stuck out in your mind when you perhaps viewed the proceedings. I think, first of all, I want to say that there is nothing more boorish, nothing more crude, nothing more full of hate than your typical liberal. Liberals are the least liberal creature on the face of the earth. They wanted to get rid of George W. Bush. They were wearing T-shirts for a long time saying, "I can't wait," and you saw the numbers 12009, January 20th, 2009. That was supposed to be the day that they were freed from the yoke of George W. Bush. And as the 43rd president was leaving to return to his beloved Texas, there were crude remarks made. And, of course, the president does have the breeding that allows him to remain gracious in spite of the ugliness hurled his way. And I wondered what these people who couldn't wait to get rid of George W. Bush, and I'll be the first to tell you, made mistakes. But the ugliness visited upon him is not obviously going to be repeated on the president we have now. it seems to me that a quote taken from a person who attended the proceedings sends a shiver. A shiver should send one down your spine, too. It sends a shiver down mine. And what am I alluding to? Maybe you won't believe this, but it's true. It's been affirmed by a reporter. This person said, quote, "You feel God is speaking to you. You feel God is speaking to you," meaning Barack Obama. Barack Obama, who used his full name, the first name Barack, the last name Obama, and the middle name Hussein. And yet there was a fellow, a practitioner of the art of talk show host, who referred to him in introducing John McCain, a strange, peculiar person, denounced that fellow. And any one of us who used his middle name during the course of the campaign, we were denounced. Shame on you. What are you trying to do here? What are you saying? Fact of the matter is, that is his middle name, and he used it himself when he took the oath of office. So now, what do you people who criticize those of us who use his middle name, now what do you say? Let's see. There's so many excerpts here that we have on the occasion of the inauguration. I want to ask you to pay very close attention to, I believe it's clip number 5.
For and, we know
listen,
that our patchwork heritage is a strength, not a weakness. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. We are shaped by every language and culture, drawn from every end of this earth. And because we have tasted the bitter swill of civil war and segregation...
Now, we've heard that before, but I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I'm not used to hearing Muslims come in right after Christians there. I don't know, maybe I'm a product of my time, but I'm used to hearing Christians and Jews. But now it's Christians and Muslims. Now, does that concern you? Does it concern you that people like Fidel Castro, said he believes in Obama? Stop and think about that. What does that mean, he believes in Obama? And who the heck is he to tell us who he believes in? I mean, for all these years, he is stuck in our throat. We couldn't get rid of him because, well, you know, that crowd there that chickened out on the Bay of Pigs. Oh, what does this say about the United States of America? What does it say about us as a nation? The inauguration was the most watched since Reagan, but American Idol beat the Obama coverage. And maybe that's one of the many reasons why we are in the state we're in, when people find it more enlightening to watch that freak show called American Idol than it would be to watch what so many people are calling a momentous, historic day in our history. But yes, it is historic. There's no doubt about it. I mean, let's not be so naive to think that history was not made by virtue of the fact that you had, as the 44th president, a man taking the oath whose father was born in Kenya. So we don't overlook that. But to think that Barack Obama would be so, so naive, or is he pretentious, or is he just being insincere when he says what is happening today is not about him? Listen to this, clip 14, listen to this.
What's happening today is not about me. It is about the American people. They understand that we have arrived at a moment of great challenge for our nation, a time of peril, but also extraordinary promise. And by being here today and by participating in innumerable ways across cities and small towns and suburbs all across the country, they are demonstrating their readiness to answer history's call.
I don't know. And when he says it's not about me, it's not about me. He says it's not about me. How could he say that with a straight face? Of course it's about him. By virtue of his very being, the day is what it is. And where do we go from here? I don't know. I don't know where we go from here when you see that the CEO of the Bank of America bought 200,000 shares of his company's stock, he put out $1.2 million, made a nice profit. This is the same guy whose company has received, $45 billion in TARP funds and having a share in losses. The United States government is participating in trying to take care of that loss of $118 billion, the $118 billion in debt. Where does this end? And we're going to continue here on the Michael Savage program, The Savage Nation, straight ahead.
Savage.
It is now the time to present to the President, Mrs. Obama, the Vice President, and Dr. Biden the beautiful crystal bowls that are over on my left. Now, Lenox China is a great American China factory, China and crystal.
I don't know. Did I walk in on this?
If you have a chance to look at them, they're really quite beautiful.
They're giving away these crystal bowls. I wonder what they cost the taxpayer.
And very, very heavy.
Not as much as a lot of other things, but I understand that Dianne Feinstein, that is, made quite a speech about the bowls. Maybe it's an infomercial. But Harry Reid, I mean, would you buy anything from Harry Reid? He gave a toast to Vice President Joe Biden, who had to hush his wife, who spilled the beans on the Oprah show by telling the nation that she says, oh, Joe was offered either Secretary of State or Vice President, and he took Vice President because he didn't want to do all the traveling that a Secretary of State would have to do. And Joe was a shh. Where's Governor Blagojevich? He knows about those things. Anyway, Bob Grant here for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. By the way, don't forget to check out Michael's website, michaelsavage.com. Check it out. Let's pick up that phone, take our first call here on the Michael Savage program. Ron from Hannibal, Missouri, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Bob Grant, you're the famous guy, long time in New York. Glad to have you.
I'm glad to get rid of George W. Bush, who's a counterfeit conservative. He rarely made a mistake, though. That's why he made no mistakes along the border. He intentionally kept the borders open. That allowed illegals and terrorists. It's not stupidity. How can we say he's stupid? This was intentional. As President Roosevelt said, when a politician does something, it's always planned that way. So Bush was a counterfeit conservative. I'm glad to get rid of him, but I'm just afraid that we have just adopted another one of those fakes that's being manipulated from behind, from the scenes like a puppet. And
well, I'm not going to argue with you when you say he wasn't really a conservative because he did too many things that a true conservative would not have done. But he had a lot of accomplices in lousing up the border and making the border more of a sieve than anything else. We single him out, of course, because he was the president. But he's got a lot of company there. And if you think things were bad then, you just wait. But I thank you very much for your call and your kind words, Ron, in Hannibal, Missouri. Hey, let's go to Las Vegas. Say hello to Sandy here on the Savage Nation. Sandy, hello.
Hi, Bob. You're doing a great job. I'm calling because I noticed right away Joe Biden had the longest inaugural oath, and he included vowing to protect domestic and, the interests of the United States. And if you go back on the Internet and see what he said in his oath was almost 3 minutes long. Obama flubbed his up first, second out.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden is Joe Biden. You know, when Barack picked him back in the campaign, picked him to be his running mate, I said, well, it's about time we had some good news because Biden is a loose cannon. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. I find it difficult to believe that they would have even considered him for Secretary of State because the man is dangerous. He's not accountable for what he says. Well, he is a cop. Straight ahead.
Savage.
Vice President Biden, I've been asked to give a toast to you. Only one other time in history has a senator and a senator simultaneously been elected president, vice president.
Ah, boy.
My predecessor, Lyndon Johnson, and John Kennedy.
These politicians who live off the taxpayer, these politicians who, if they walk into your room, you got to have a pair of hip boots. It's just incredible. I can't think of two more, shall we say, two more obnoxious politicians than Harry Reid and Joe Biden. Anybody want to top that? Oh, yeah. We could have a great contest. Who's the most obnoxious? Who's the most repulsive? Hey, this is Bob Grant sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget to check out his website, michaelsavage.com. And I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to pick up the telephone and hear from, how about Dave in New York? Hello, Dave.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi does it for me. She'll make me sick anytime. Hey, listen, I want to point out something that that I'm sure nobody has about this Obama. You know, this cadre of morons, these race norm, politically corrected norm morons, don't see what's coming. You know, he's going to create food shortages. I'm positive of it because the communist system doesn't work.
You think that he's going to want the farms to be taken over by the government? Is that what you think?
Well.
Hi, Dave?
I didn't hear what you said. Say it again.
Well, Dave, what makes you think that that's going to happen? That it's going to be a collective. What are they going to do, collectivize the farms?
Well, it's starting already. The political re-education camps are starting. I mean, the teachers are polling the third, second, and third graders how they voted. And anybody, any little kid that says they want Bush, why then they ridicule him in front of the other students.
Well, they shouldn't do that with children anyway. That's absurd to have these polls with children. It's ridiculous. But there are a lot of ridiculous things go on. Dave, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Let's go to Kennewick in the great state of Washington and say hello to Joanne on the Savage Nation. Hello, Joanne.
Hello, Bob. I just want to say I'm getting really tired of Bush getting picked on. I would like to challenge anybody out there to try to be president for even a week. There's a lot of stress that a president goes through. At the beginning of his administration, September 11th happened, and that was a very difficult thing to begin his administration. I don't say he's perfect. I'm not a Bush lover, but lay off of him, please.
Well, listen, you're going to hear that for a long time. They'll never forget him. The left wing in this country hates him in particular. It's interesting that they don't seem to hate Cheney as much. And I think the reason is Cheney came right out and says, I don't care. I don't care if you like me or not. And that's the only way a person can handle himself. I mean, are they there, whether they're president, whether they're senator, whatever, are they there to do a job? Theoretically, yes. Theoretically. But in reality, they're there to make sure they keep that job. And how do they keep that job? By lying to the people. Not all of them do, but so many do. It's very difficult not to become cynical. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd also like to say that really, how many people out there voted for Bush? We're the ones that did the interview that allowed him in there. So why aren't we mad at ourselves for putting him in there if everybody's so angry about what he's done? We're the one that voted him in there.
Well, 57 million people did not vote for Obama. And yet hear the New York Times or any of these other liberal bastions, you'd think everybody in the country voted for him. I thank you very much, Joanne. Appreciate the call. Okay, checking in now on the Savage Nation. Here's Frank from New York. Is that right, Frank?
Right, so, Mr. Grant. My voice tonight was like getting 50 cc's of liver extract.
Okay, thank you very much, Frank. I appreciate that. Frank's in Whitestone. He wants everybody to know, coast to coast, border to border. He's calling from Whitestone. All right, let's go to Georgia. Say hello to Jerry. Jerry, on the Michael Savage program, the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Mr. Grant, it's so good to hear your voice. What I wanted to point out was that the disrespect as displayed by those citizens to President Bush during his final public moments during the transition of power to his successor was despicable. Now, no matter what anyone feels about President Bush, he deserves to be left with his dignity. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think he showed great dignity in what he said when he arrived in Texas and was greeted by his fellow citizens down there, and he gave a talk. Fox News, by the way, was the only outlet that carried that. Naturally, NBC didn't do it. CNN didn't do it. But it showed George W. Bush at peace with himself, I thought. How many of us, whether we're ex-presidents or not, are at peace with ourselves?
Well, all I can say is I'm resolute in the fact that I was one of at least the 59 million individuals that voted against fundamental change last November. And quite frankly, my feeling is that, con man now sits as our nation's 44th president. And I initially had bestowed that title upon the man who eventually became our country's 42nd commander-in-chief. But being that I know we don't get to hear you like we used to, I would like to just say this. I heard a gentleman reading a mother's letter to her baby boomer age daughter, and she ended it saying, this quote, "This transition to change will be most disconcerting, and it's almost like suddenly finding out there's no God. You lose everything you ever believed in. I believe in you, Bob Grant. You're the last of a breed. There was you and Barry Gray."
Well, listen, I appreciate what you're saying. I thank you very much, and you should be proud to be a Georgian. After all, your state was carried by the GOP, and you kept Saxby in the United States Senate. Thank you very much, Jerry. You're listening to the Savage Nation. And don't forget to check out Michael Savage's website. It's michaelsavage.com. Now, I see that oil has gone below $33 a barrel. I would like to know. I'd like to take advantage of the fact that Michael Savage has such a huge audience spanning the nation. And maybe in the multitudes out there, there is someone who can explain the incongruity of it all. The price of oil goes down. The price of gasoline has continued to rise. I don't know how it is where you are, but I know where I am here in the Northeast. It's rising. Would someone please explain that to me? All right. Oh, dear me. Let's say hello to, how about Steve from Chicago? Hello, Steve.
Hello, Bob. I'm sorry I can't help you about the gas, but my comment was, my opinion is that there's two main reasons why the economy is doing so bad, and I don't know why no one seems to be talking about it, and maybe I'm wrong. The two reasons I think the economy are doing so bad is that the economy has been based on how much spending is out there, and people were able to spend 1.26 of the dollar that they 26 cents more than they make on every dollar, and so that artificially propped up our economy for quite a few years. And this was done not only by the government, by business, but by people's greed and the consumer's greed and the business's greed. And now banks realize that that's not a smart business practice, and they're going to be losing their shirts. So now they're not doing that. So if you take away 26 cents to every dollar, that's going to take away 20% of our economy. That's going to play a major factor to me, unless they're going to force these banks to continue to loan that out. To me, that's one main reason. The second reason is that they've systematically in the last 25 years tried to destroy the idea of a transcendent God or a being that's greater than ourselves.
Well, I don't know. I think we're mixing apples and oranges here, but maybe you have a case you could make, but it would take a great deal of time to make that case, don't you think?
Well, if one of our founding fathers, I think, said that if we don't have a belief in a power greater than ourselves, we will bankrupt our country on trying to police everybody, a police state, not only paying for all the police, but also having all the Madoffs walking off with all the money. And I think those are the two main reasons, but I don't hear anybody saying anything about that. They just say that, the government's got to save us, somebody's got to save us, rather than, tighten up our belts. If we want to make more money and spend more money, we'd better be more productive and work harder.
Well, that of course, goes without saying. Steve, I want to thank you for your call. Steve, calling from Chicago, the hometown of our president. How about that? Anyway, Bob Grant here sitting in for Michael Savage and the Savage Nation. Savage.
President, Mrs. Obama, so much rests on your shoulders. Our hopes, our dreams, the future of this country. We have watched you. We see the equanimity. We see the dedication. We see the balance. And I think the sense of all of us in this room is that this nation is in good hands. May those hands remain stable and steady. May those hands always be well. May you and your family be blessed with the love of the American
people. I mean, what is this here? What is this?
Be in government.
What, Senator Feinstein, what is this? What are you working for? What does she want? I mean, that is very serious. Very serious indeed. I mean, really serious. To say the things she's saying, I think it's a bit overdone. I really do. She really got carried away. Now, speaking of getting carried away, I want you to pay close attention to this. Because you're going to hear President Obama talking about Teddy. And then I want to tell you a story how Obama used the Kennedys, verbally that is, and the mainstream media never really called him to task for it. But here he is talking about Teddy.
Please, everybody be seated. My remarks are very brief. First of all, I know that while I was out of the room, concern was expressed about Teddy. He was there when the Voting Rights Act passed. Along with John Lewis, was a warrior for justice. And so I would be lying to you if I did not say that right now a part of me is with him.
Ah, please,
and I think
please.
That's true for all of us.
Please, come on. Do they have any any of those statues that they give out at the Academy Awards? Do they have any of those? They should give a couple to Dianne Feinstein. They should give one to the president himself. Now, here he is. Here he is talking about Senator Kennedy. The same Barack Obama who tried to let people believe that his father, Barack's father, got to this country thanks to the Kennedys. They had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, when Barack's father came to this country, Dwight Eisenhower was president, not Teddy, not John F. Kennedy. And then he tried to tie in somehow or other the Selma Bridge. And tried to suggest that they met, that is, Barack's parents met in that Selma Bridge march. And that's how they got together. Falsehood. Falsehood. Why do people have to tell these stories? It reminds me of Madame Hillary. The Dragon Lady herself sabotaged her own campaign. I really believe she would have been the Democratic nominee and hence the Democratic president had she not told that fib about being told to duck when they were in Bosnia because snipers were firing over their head. Why? Why do they have to make up stories? I know kids make up stories. And sometimes a lot of adults do. Why does anybody have to make up a story? Why? I don't know. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just not enthralled by everything that's going on. I wish him well because he is the commander-in-chief. He is the captain of our ship. So naturally, we've got to hope he does all right. But no matter what he does, there are a lot of events that are beyond a president's power. Sometimes presidents get too much blame or too much credit. We're always looking for a guy to blame or a guy to praise. Let's go to Monterey. Say hello to Ron here on the Savage Nation. Hello, Ron.
Let me first say, Bob, that I go back to the Gumbada from Yonkers and Johnny the Bus Driver and Loretano's.
My gosh. Amazing. How'd you get to Monterey?
Well, I moved here a number of years ago from New York, and it's beautiful here, that's for sure. And I get to listen to the Savage Nation also.
Well, you got it all made there. That's it. And, living there, listening. Yeah, I think success went to his head. Okay. Thank you very much, Ron. Let's take a quick call here from, how about Teddy in Sarasota? Sarasota, Florida. Teddy, are you there?
Yeah, Mr. Grant, hi. I think you know I share your sentiments. I'd like to go back to the very beginning of your monologue. We all know Castro's a bum. Why bother paying attention to him? He's just fodder for the liberals. And I agree, there's no one more closed-minded and full of hate than the ultimate hypocritic liberal himself. Just listen to Barbara Boxer and how she introduced the justice who was going to give the oath of office. The oath. I mean, these people are pathetic. And we're not going to see anything more egotistical than this president than we got. He's been a celebrity for 2 years, propped up by a conniving and complicit.
Okay. Listen, we're on the same wavelength. Thank you very much, Teddy. This is Bob Grant on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To the Muslim world,
to the Muslim.
We seek a new way forward based on mutual interest and mutual respect.
I don't know. What mutual respect? What mutual respect?
Or blame their society's ills on the West.
They want us to adopt Sharia law. What mutual express? What mutual respect, Mr. President? I don't know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you can say you heard it first because you were listening to the Savage Nation. I have just received word that Caroline Kennedy has withdrawn her name to be the successor to Hillary Clinton. And the word is now, and the New York Post says it's official, that Andrew Cuomo, the attorney general and the son of the former governor, is going to succeed Hillary Clinton in the United States Senate. I may shock some people, but I think that was a wise move on the part of Governor Patterson. It had become a joke. It had become an absolute travesty to think that Caroline Kennedy would automatically succeed Hillary Clinton in the United States Senate for one reason and one reason only, her name. And I know a couple of weeks ago when she was interviewed on a television station known as New York One, it was pathetic. It really was. Even if you were not rooting for her, you had to feel sorry for her for making such a fool of herself. I've never heard anyone use the expression, you know, as often as she did. And when a person says, you know, that means that for that moment, they themselves don't know and are stalling for time. Oh, it happens to everybody. I'm sure there are those times it's happened to you. I know there are those times it's happened, yes, even to me. But not the way, not with the rapidity that Caroline Kennedy used in that interview. And she must have known that if she wanted to maintain any self-respect, she would have to withdraw. She must have known deep in her heart that she was not qualified, that she was not fit. Hey, after all, what is this? I thought that the Revolutionary War, which was launched officially when we declared independence from the United Kingdom on July 4th, 1776, I thought it was to rid ourselves of the yoke of the monarchy. And yet we have been creating a royalty in this country. They may not be called Duke and Duchess, Prince and Princess. They're called rock stars, movie stars, sons and daughters of famous people, of politicians. Now, you might say, well, Andrew Cuomo's the son of a former governor. Yeah, but Andrew Cuomo proved himself. He has been an attorney general and surprisingly good attorney general so far. And so I think it's safe to say, you heard it first because you were listening to Savage Nation, that the Senate seat, formerly held by Senator Clinton, goes to the Attorney General of the State of New York, Andrew Cuomo. And if I do a little bragging, and, you know, I don't shy from bragging. I have so little to brag about. I did make that prediction. I did make that prediction some time ago that Patterson would choose Cuomo, and I heard from people say, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm used to hearing that, so just rolled right off. Hey, I'm enjoying myself sitting in for the great Michael Savage here on the Savage Nation. You want to check out his website. It's michaelsavage.com. Let's get back to our telephones here, and let's see. Why don't we say hello to, Elena from St. Petersburg, Florida. Elena.
Yes, sir. You're sick and tired of listening to people putting down President Bush. But you know what? Nobody had the big cojones to take care of the American soil like he did and keep us free from those people in the Middle East hurting this country like the way they did 9/11. I thought I'd never live to see something like that. And meanwhile, Obama has put a big table, like a big buffet, a cafeteria, and Americans are just gobbling and taking everything without masticating or chewing and swallowing every garbage that is presented on that table.
All right. Very well, Elena. I appreciate you taking part in the Savage Nation tonight. Thank you very much. Let's go to New York City. And Steve is on the line. Steve, did you get that news about Andrew Cuomo?
Yes, I did, Bob. Hey, he's another Clintonista. He was a member of the Clinton administration. It makes sense. Obama's surrounded by Clinton. But I wanted to talk about was Justice Roberts. You had him quoted in the beginning. He was sending a message in that oath. He was sending that doesn't make
sense. No, wait a minute. Do you think that John Roberts, Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, is going to use the giving of the oath to pull some shtick where he's sending a message? Come on.
Oh, yeah. You think he's going to make a mistake like that? The guy's a Harvard grad. He doesn't make, and he speaks well under pressure.
Well,
I don't think.
Okay, Steve, we'll leave it. We'll leave it there. Look, John Roberts did something he should not have done, and that is, unlike his predecessor, William Rehnquist, he didn't have that 5x8 card. He didn't have it written out. And I don't care if you're a chief justice and you got a 4.0 in college all 4 years, and you were a whiz in law school and obviously a brilliant young man, but you should not forswear the use of a 5x8 card that all you had to do was look at it and read the 45 or so words that he had to do. Okay. Let's see now. How about Jerry in Chicago? Do we have Jerry in Chicago?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I'm probably, unlike most of your listeners, an Obama supporter, but I support the right of people to state that Obama's wrong, because a president, no matter what, even on foreign policy or war policy, isn't above criticism. He's not an employee. Much of the criticism of Bush was over the top, but he was still the employee of the American people. And he was open to criticism. I'm not on the far left. Some of that stuff was way over the top. But I think there was some legitimate criticism against Bush during his administration.
Oh, sure. I'm one of them who criticized the spending. The spending was phenomenal. These programs that a self-respecting conservative would not have indulged in. So, there's no doubt about that. But one thing you cannot take away from President Bush, and that is the fact that after 9/11, America was not hit by one terrorist attack. But many, many were planned, many were attempted. And I think as time goes on, we'll learn more and more about that, don't you?
Well, I think that Bush... he wasn't perfect. Yeah, he did not. There was no terrorist attacks in the United States, but there was still problems with Homeland Security. And I think whenever you see some fault, I mean, we still have problems with our ports. They're not fully secure. And I think that's open to evaluation.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's go out to San Diego. By the way, the telephone number here for the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. That's 800-449-8255. 5-5. Bob in San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
All right.
Glad to talk to you. Thank God for Michael Savage and yourself. This mainstream media, I mean, if ABC, NBC, CNN, you're not going to get the true story anymore. They're false.
Antichrist, that I don't know. I don't know what is Antichrist anyway? What is that? How do you qualify as the Antichrist?
Well, he fits all the descriptions, you know, like from Revelations and other writings, you know, everybody's falling all over him, and, you know, just a few people against him, and I don't know what else to say, you know, it's just, you know, he's...
Uh-huh. Well, okay, we'll leave it there. There was one person at the inauguration said, I feel like I'm listening to the voice of God. She did say that. That person did say that and was not pretending. Anyway, I thought we'd get more of a reaction on that. Bob Grant here, in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
American people have come together across races and regions and stations. Now we have to do the same. Now it falls to us, the people's representatives, to give our fullest measure of devotion to the cause of freedom and liberty and justice,
our
decency,
full measure of devotion.
And dignity in our chambers should reflect.
Didn't Abe Lincoln use that phrase?
Are in the hearts of the American people. And so I'd like to, all of us, to rededicate ourselves to fulfilling
rededicate.
The sacred charge the American people have given to us.
Yeah.
I'd like all of us to come together.
Right. That's right. That's right. And not too long ago, Mr. President, not too long ago, the American people wanted the United States to start drilling for its own oil. And the machinery was supposed to be in place to drill offshore. Not as much as some of us wanted, but nevertheless to start drilling some of our own precious oil. And guess what? Just as I knew it. One of the first things President Obama is going to do is rescind that. Hey, next thing you know, people will say, were we paying $4 and up for a gallon of gasoline? Were we saying, where's our own oil? Why don't we have our own oil? They're going to forget. We have built-in forgetters, as someone said. Built-in forgetters. We forget. And that's been our undoing. Absolutely. But I want to ask you something quite seriously. This is not just said to evoke reaction. I really am curious. Do you believe that diversity is a strength? Or do you believe that diversity is a potential avenue of weakness? And what is diversity? You see, diversity could mean a lot of things. But if it happens because we have a Caucasian, because we have a black, because we have an Asian, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, there's something very inspiring about that. If it happens automatically, if it happens not artificially, but these politicians and these lefties in this country are obsessed with diversity for the sake of diversity. You get my point? You know what I'm driving at? Look, if a winning football team wins the game, I don't think they're really concerned who caught the touchdown pass, who threw the touchdown pass, who made the key block, who did this, who did that. It's the team. But can you imagine how some of these lefties would coach a football team? They'd say, well, listen, no, we can't have that guy catch a pass again because he's caught too many. I mean, things have to happen because there's a goal. The goal to win the game. The goal to turn this country around because we are in very deep trouble. Unlike we have seen, in my opinion, unlike we have seen at any time before. All right, ladies and gentlemen, time is really going fast here on the Savage Nation. Bob Grant sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Before concluding, obviously a lot of people work very hard to make this possible, and I would like to thank a few of them for their gifts. Duckhorn Vineyards in the Napa Valley, Golden Eye donated their wines and champagnes. Our escorts are now delivering to you a commemorative vase, which was created by Paula Skeen and handcrafted by California artists.
The freeloaders are there.
Each guest is also going to receive a leather-bound compilation of every presidential address.
I don't know. There's something unseemly about this. Something unseemly. And I'm sure the Duckhorn Vineyards is a fine organization, but they certainly knew what they were doing, because you get mentioned by a giant in the United States Senate like Dianne Feinstein, and who got all the goodies? Who got all these goodies? And leather-bound compilation of every presidential address. My, oh, my. That's really something. Did you know I was speaking a moment ago, and, of course, we had the news, and we had it first, I'm proud to say, that Caroline Kennedy dropped out. Caroline Kennedy came to her senses, or somebody forced her to come to her senses and says, this is not going to work. And Andrew Cuomo is going to be the next United States senator, junior senator from New York. And meanwhile, in the Senate earlier today, Hillary Clinton was confirmed by a vote of 94-2. 94-2 voted to confirm her to be the next Secretary of State. The only two who voted their conscience, Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina and Senator David Bitter of Louisiana. Both those gentlemen, proud Republicans. So she's confirmed. She's the Secretary of State. And it'll be interesting to get the reaction of people to the appointment of Andrew Cuomo to the United States Senate and Caroline Kennedy's dropping out. Let's take some phone calls here on the Savage Nation. Let's talk to Dennis in Pennsylvania. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for my call. I'll get right to the point.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
In reference to Harry Reid mentioning LBJ, I thought that was so stupid, considering LBJ, his wife, Lady Bird, owned Flying Tiger Airlines during Vietnam, which I did two round trips on. You talk about a conflict of interest? That was 40 years ago. So, I mean, we're talking about issues that have been going on for years and years and years. And conflict of interest is now a big concern to the government or to the public.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. When does it end? Almost 40 years to the date I flew, you know, on that questionable transportation mode. And, you know, to me, you know, we talk about these issues. You know, and Obama today, he took a positive thing with lobbies. But the point is, this has been going on for 40-some-odd years. Everybody looked the other way.
But, you know, the word lobby, a lobbyist, it's not a bad word. These are people who represent an industry or a firm, a company, and communicate with the legislators. That's what it is. Now, of course, we know about the abuses. We know about Abramoff and all those other people. But the concept is very logical. Can we all go to Washington and try to persuade our senator to vote a certain way? No, we can't.
I'm talking about this thing with Hillary. She got confirmed anyway. But the point is, everybody's upset about this conflict of interest, and I was just referencing LBJ when Reid said yesterday he got my goat in an uproar, and here we are, like, everybody's concerned about a conflict of interest. Here's the president and his wife, you know, sending troops on an aircraft, on a, you know, a fleet owned by his wife.
And, I understand. I couldn't agree with you more, and it's a lot of hypocrisy, which, of course, is really what Washington's all about, hypocrisy. Thank you very much, Dennis from Pennsylvania. Let's go to Michigan. Reuben checking in right now on the Savage Nation. Hello, Reuben.
Bob, I can't believe that I have the pleasure of talking to you again. First of all, I can't believe that I heard you say that you're actually a job is a good thing, then I'll take your word for it.
Well, now Andrew Cuomo's done a pretty good job as Attorney General, and Andrew Cuomo is not going to embarrass the state of New York the way Caroline Kennedy would have. I've got nothing against Caroline Kennedy. I don't even know her, but she would have been an embarrassment.
The fact that the emperor with no clothes yesterday would talk so much about the swimmer, to go back old school with you, is nauseating to me. There is no greater analogy to me on this guy than the emperor with no clothes. And you know what? I am a descendant of Abraham. Abraham stood up against false messiahs, and I've been a long line of people that have stood up against false messiahs, and I'm proud to do so in my generation.
God bless you for that. I like what you said, and I like the way you said it. Thank you very much, Reuben. Let's go to Salinas, California, and welcome Justin to the Savage Nation. Hello, Justin.
Yeah, hey, Bob, I just wanted to make the comment early on the show you mentioned about the gas price and the disconnect between oil prices. I just wanted to make the comment, I think to get an accurate look at that, you'd have to go back about a month and look what crude oil costs then to gauge what the prices are today, because it takes a while for the crude oil to be turned into gasoline to get to the pump to be sold. So I would venture to say in about a month, gas prices should start to go down, reflecting the price of oil, you know, being sold today.
Well, you know, you're trying to invoke logic, and logic seems to get lost whenever we talk about these things. But you're telling us we should look forward to a month from now, the prices of the gasoline will go down. But at that very same time, somebody will explode a bomb somewhere in the Middle East or anywhere on the planet, and they'll say, oh, that's why oil prices had to go up again. It's a never-ending tragedy.
No, it's a crooked system, too. I mean, if that doesn't happen in a month from now, things are still going up. You'll know then that it's crooked, you know?
Absolutely. All right. I thank you very much, Justin, calling from Salinas, California, to the Savage Nation. And I tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to say hello to Colette very quickly here. Yes, Colette.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on all of the news media covering people who drank the Kool-Aid, and they don't cover the people, the 57 million people who didn't side with Obama, who did not vote for him, who see through his no experience, and all he is a bunch of talk with nothing to back it up, and they want to compare him to Abe Lincoln. He has no record. What is there to compare to? He has nothing to compare to. They come from the same state. That's all I see. And it's just, I can't even turn on my television. It just makes me nauseous. And to watch these people, as your caller said earlier, that he's the Messiah, it's like, it's ridiculous. The people need to put the Kool-Aid down, and the media needs to quit electing our presidents, because in 4 years, when we see what a horrible job he's done, and I'm not hoping for that, but what record does he have to prove that he's going to do otherwise?
All right. I understand what you're saying, Colette. Thank you very much. Colette talks about the media. I've given up as far as the media is concerned. They're not going to change. I don't know what it is that makes them lefties. I really don't understand it. But there are times that I would like to see a a complete left-wing government takeover and do what they inevitably want to do, and that is control every vestige of our lives. And that would include the so-called free press. This is Bob Grant sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
For we know that our patchwork heritage is a strength, not a weakness. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. We are shaped by every language and culture, drawn from every end of this earth. And because we have tasted the bitter swill of civil war and segregation and emerged from that dark chapter stronger and more united, we cannot help but believe that the old hatreds shall someday pass, that the lines of tribes shall soon dissolve, that as the world grows smaller, our common humanity shall reveal itself, and that America must play its role in ushering in a new era of peace.
Yeah, okay, we must play our role. What is our role, anyway? I'd like to know. I'd like to know what our role is supposed to be, and why do we always have to be out front? What is it? What is it? Now we are going to have a president who prides himself and has done this. This is not my interpretation. This is right out there. He prides himself on being collegial with other nations. He prides himself on saying, I am a citizen of the world. Remember he said that in Berlin? I'm a citizen of the world. What was that message supposed to be? I'm not saying we have to be the lone wolf. It doesn't work. It's not good. Look what happened to W. No, you have to have some finesse. I understand that. You have to be diplomatic. I understand that too. But what is all this garbage about diversity giving us strength? If we're strong, we're strong because of the American system. We're not strong because we chose a certain conglomeration of personages. Anyway, let's pick up the phone on the Savage Nation. Bob Grant sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's say hello to Norman from Hartford, Connecticut. Norman, hello.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, I was just saying about the Carolyn Kennedy thing. You know, she might have dropped out because maybe Teddy's health is so bad that he might just decide that, maybe it's time for me to step down and he'll nominate her. And the way the people vote in Massachusetts, it's just name recognition, it seems. You know, I never understand how John Kerry, who's the big blowhard that he is, how he always gets reelected up there. It's just amazing to me.
Well, when you have a truly one-party state,
right, as
we're getting more and more one-party states, and sad to say they're all Democrat states. Vermont is a one-party state. Massachusetts is definitely a one-party state. New York is a one-party state. New Jersey's a one-party state. Now, you're calling from the capital of Connecticut, which, if it didn't have Governor Rell, would be a one-party state. But what you say about the name Kennedy in Massachusetts, obviously, it immunizes a person. You could be found guilty of the most heinous crime, but your name is Kennedy. I mean, do you think anybody but a Kennedy would have survived the Mary Jo Kopechne tragedy? The Duke of Chappaquiddick?
No.
The people of Massachusetts, and yet they have reelected this individual time and time and time again. They might even pass a law when he does pass on that somehow or other he will still retain his seat in the Senate.
Yeah,
first,
it, Well, yeah, but wouldn't it be up to the governor to elect the next senator? Let's say his term wasn't up.
Well, most states do follow that procedure. As a matter of fact, they all have the governor is responsible for appointing the successor, depending on the term. Some states it's a short period of time. Some states it's until the term would have run out. But you know who the governor is in Massachusetts now, Deval Patrick, who is a very distinguished governor. Thank you very much, Norman. Appreciate the call here on The Savage Nation. John from North Carolina. Hello, John.
Hello, Bob. I wanted to solve your problem on the gas prices. Seems like Mr. Obama looked at what George Bush did toward the end when he lifted the offshore drilling, and he put the lid back on that. So now it is illegal to drill offshore, and oil went from $34 a barrel to $44 a barrel, and there wasn't a shot fired. How about that? So you better fill her up on the way home.
When was this that it went from 34 to 44?
Today.
Today?
Day. I heard it on the news at about 5 o'clock this evening.
Well, that's
time.
Because we're putting the lid on offshore drilling.
That's right. We have now told the people over in the Middle East that we're not going to produce any more oil. So they said, okay, we'll just raise the price. And so.
And remember, it started going down when the former president said that we were going to start drilling for offshore oil. Remember?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I knew this was going to happen. I knew it. I didn't think it would happen this quickly, but it's happening.
24 hours it happened.
Oh, dear. Well, even though you gave me bad news, thank you for the call. All right. Service from Hartford, Connecticut. Hello. Are you there, sir? He's gone. Okay. All right. He probably heard that news. No, really, that's a shocking thing. Speaking of shocking things, how many of you know what the card check bill is? That's where instead of a private vote, an employee does not vote privately. He checks a card which says he is for unionizing his company or his division or whatever it may be. And you know what they did? They did what all the eyeshade phonies do. They call it the Employee Free Choice Act, using the time-tested strategy of naming legislation with a clever euphemism. And these union advocates are pushing legislation that would restructure radically the process of organizing a workplace under the pleasant-sounding, even stirring title, the Employee Free Choice Act. And I want to tell you something. This is going to make bad things even worse. It's going to drive up the prices of things even more. It's going to give labor a powerful tool. And what do they do with that tool? They say, the heck with the industry, the heck with the company, the heck with the country. We union leaders want what we want when we want it, no matter who suffers. Bob Grant, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Now, you can turn off the rap. This is the Savage Nation. I want to read you some production notes that I sent to the staff. It's on michaelsavage.com. We have a new feature which is listing the production notes and the monologues. But here's what I sent them, a one paragraph, or bear with me. I wrote, guys, try to get for tomorrow Beethoven Symphony No. 9 conducted by John Elliott Gardner, especially cut number 5, O Freunde nicht diese Tonne. I want to play this all day and talk about how we've gone from Beethoven as the cultural zenith to gutter rapsters in one single degeneration, how young musical types used to try to achieve greatness by aspiring to playing Beethoven's 9th, while today they might aspire to sing like a drug-dealing pimp. And how the same thing holds true for all other aspects of Western civilization. Young aspiring idealists once dreamed of being the next Louis Pasteur or Albert Einstein, but today we have thousands of mini Milkins with Bernie Madoff as the end of the line. That's what I sent them. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because America is changing as we speak. If you want to talk about Obama and what he represents, we can do that. Today is all about race today. So let's talk about race for a moment. Let's talk about the curious and sensitive case of Obama's mixed race heritage. Notice I say sensitive, so bear with me and listen carefully. You see, the far left and the far right are going to play racial politics with Obama's presidency, and they are doing so before he's even been inaugurated. Racist liberals are complaining about Obama's mixed-race heritage because they feel he isn't black enough. Now, of course, they will blame anything bad he does on his white genes and anything good he does on his black genes. On the other side of the aisle, racist conservatives are pointing out Obama's mixed-race heritage as well. They will attribute anything good he does to his white genes and anything bad he does to his black genes. Now, what does that have to do with Beethoven? Everything and nothing. But my point is well taken. Take a look at yesterday's musical excerpts from the inaugural concert in Washington, D.C. None of them were on the level of Beethoven. There were no classical musicians. It was Bono again, one of the greatest frauds of our time. Bruce Springsteen, who's on both sides of the aisle at the same time. Stevie Wonder, who's a fine musician, but certainly not the kind of cultural representation that I would like to see at an inauguration, frankly. And as I said to you, in my day, people shot for the moon culturally. They shot for the moon. And I'll have to repeat it to you again. Anyone in music used to want to play in a symphony, and particularly Beethoven's 9th. But look at the white boys today in particular. They get pants that hang down underneath their skinny white behinds with no belts, and they try to act like a drug-dealing pimp. You say, well, that's a symptom of our times. It sure is. But what about all the other aspects of Western civilization? Tens of thousands of the brightest used to want to be the next great savior of humanity through a medical discovery. Today they short-circuit it and they want to be on Wall Street and rob their grandmother of her life savings. Now, who are you going to blame for this? I don't know. You can blame anyone you want. It doesn't matter to me, but that's where we're at today. And that's really why we have Obama as the president. For over 30 to 40 years, it started with the far-left radical feminists who were screaming, and I remember at Stanford, hey, hey, ho, ho, Western civ has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Western civilization has got to go. The radical lesbians tried to topple the patriarchy, and they tried to overthrow Western civilization. And they've more or less achieved their ends. Now, the Republicans are as much to blame for Obama's ascension to the presidency as anyone else. And the reason I say to blame is because the man is the most far-left senator in American history. I mean, let's be clear. Maybe he's a very nice guy, but I'm sure Karl Marx was kind to his pets as well. It has nothing to do with whether he's nice or telegenic, or whether he has a nice wife and nice children. Obama's voting record is that of the most extreme leftist in the history of the U.S. Senate. We now have him as president. But he didn't come in on a wing and a prayer. He was put there by the Republicans, as much as by anything else. George Bush's disaster, his disastrous tenure of 8 years, I don't want to reiterate it, is as much a reason for Obama's ascendancy to the presidency as is the Republicans running the hack John McCain. Remember, Romney could have beaten Obama by at least 20 points. Romney is young, Romney is telegenic, Romney's a self-made businessman. He would have won. But strangely, he was pulled out of the race virtually overnight in the middle of the primaries, and they put the hack in John McCain. I have a theory on this. That is, the Republicans knew they were going to sack the Treasury in the last month or two, and they didn't want another Republican sitting there in the hot seat. So they figured, let the far-left Obama take it, or even Hillary, it wouldn't matter, so that the Republicans can come back in 4 years with Romney and say, let us fix the economy, and then they can rob us for another 8 years. This is the Savage Nation. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Now, this is not all related to Beethoven's Ninth, but I must tell you, yesterday was a long, long, long day for me. I was alone most of the day, which I prefer. I put myself in the states of solitude almost to the extent that I can't take it anymore. But it's usually at the perimeters of solitude that I get some good thoughts. And I was digging around in my old CD stack in a house I hadn't been in a long time, and I stumbled upon John Elliott Gardner's Symphony No. 9. Now, Gardner, his version of Beethoven's Ninth, and I've heard many of them, to me was the most moving. I don't know if you know it, but John Elliott Gardner actually conducted a symphony that used period instruments for the Ninth. Now, something happens to me when I listen to Beethoven. I begin to shudder. I can't think. My mind closes down. And I sit there in awe as though something, well, not as though, but something happens to me. Almost no other music does it to me. Beethoven does it to me. My body starts to quiver. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds like I'm being overly dramatic. I'm just giving you a relationship between me and a particular piece of music for a reason, and I'll get back to politics in a moment on the Savage Nation. What happens to me is I get very, very upset that on the same planet that I am walking, a man named Beethoven once walked. That as bright as I like to think I am, there was a man perhaps 10,000 times brighter than I am named Beethoven. In his mind, instead of having the clutter that I have, in his mind, instead of having the emotional baggage that I have, in his mind, instead of having the political pollution that I have, in his mind, instead of having the refuse of civilization that I have, as bright as I think I might be, there was a man who had this music in between his ears. And I shudder to think how rare that is. And then my body shuts down, my mind shuts down, and all I can do is shudder before greatness. This is the Savage Nation. Play a little bit of Beethoven again for the folks as we go out on this break. I'll take your calls at 1-800-449-8255. We'll also talk about the brainwashing of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The brainwashing of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. we are celebrating Western civilization, dead old white males, because on the Savage Nation, Western civilization is the greatest civilization that ever has been, and perhaps ever will be. And if you don't like it, well, you're listening to the wrong station. I suggest you listen to some Obamathon somewhere. I have no idea what they're celebrating in Washington. The man has done nothing yet, but it's as though the Messiah has arisen. I could see the happiness that a Democrat won, but what is this all about? I wonder, and I see neighbors still have Obama-Biden signs on their lawn, as though it's sort of like a secret passcode, like the old Communist Party. You had to have a party card. You know, you had to show you were a member of the party. Big deal, so you voted for someone. Take it down already. Who cares that you voted for Obama? Does that make you better? Good God, what's wrong with these people? Answer, liberalism is a mental disorder. Now, going back to Beethoven for the moment, he was deaf by the time he wrote the Ninth Symphony. Now, it's interesting to say, well, he was deaf. Yeah, well, maybe he became deaf to screen out the world, since the world was nothing but clutter and clatter and rubbish, and it offended him so greatly that he went deaf so he could listen to what was in his own head. And what was in his own head was one of the greatest pieces of music, if not the epitome, the tip of the pyramid of Western music, is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, according to anyone who knows music. But what does it have to do with Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Obama? Maybe everything, maybe nothing. Maybe everything, maybe nothing. I'm not so willing to say that we should be celebrating so greatly because Obama's president. Remember, 47% of Americans said no to Obama. That's even though the Republicans ran an old party hack named McCain. So figure half the country is not happy with Obama, at least. And it's a $175 million price tag for the coronation? And this man is supposed to represent change? He's supposed to represent a man who is going to bring back dignity for the poor? Why didn't he just cancel the inauguration and say, I want the money spent on the poor? Why didn't he build one housing project somewhere? Why didn't he distribute some food for Africa? Why didn't he give out AIDS money instead of doing this? Answer, because he's no different than any other egomaniacal politician. So if you want to talk about this, you can. 1-800-449-8255. William Ayers turned back a Canadian border. It's on my website, michaelsavage.com. William Ayers, remember him? A so-called professor of education at the so-called University of Illinois in Chicago, was turned back at the Canadian border. He was going to speak at another communist university, invited there by Jeffrey Kugler, executive director of the so-called Center for Urban Schooling. He said, it's kind of ironic the day before Barack Obama is going to become president. This is what the Canadian border security has done, said Kugler. It seems ridiculous that one university can't have a professor from another university to come and give a lecture on an important educational topic. This is a matter of academic freedom. He couldn't be a threat to anyone. He's a distinguished scholar at the University of Illinois, said the Canadian commie shaker over there. To imagine anyway he was a threat to Canada is really absurd. Well, it could be because he tried to blow up the Pentagon, and we should maybe really have gotten angry at the Canadians for not letting him in. Could be because he never expressed regret for his terrorist activities. Of course, one day he might express regret, and then, of course, the Canadians will have been proven to be wrong. You know, I can't believe, where do violent old hippies go anyway? Well, they're all university professors. The professor who invited him doesn't know why he was turned back. That's because he tried to blow up the Pentagon and he never said he was sorry. He's a respected educator? Are you kidding me? He's a respected educator? He's still a revolutionary, still intent on bringing down the U.S. He received part of an Annenberg Challenge grant, a $50 million match grant, which Ayers and Obama used to advance radical alternative education. And by the way, the funding did not go to improve Chicago schools, but it funded radical community organization projects such as ACORN, which helped get Obama elected. In case you don't know any of this. Black Liberation Theology of Obama's Trinity United Church of Christ, Reverend Wright, served with Ayers on the board of directors for the Woods Fund, which gave $75,000 to ACORN, $6,000 to Obama's church, and $60,000 to the Children and Family Justice Center, founded and run by Bernadette Dorn, wife of Ayers. Oh, by the way, the fund also gave $50,000 to the Ayers-Klonsky Small Schools Network. $75,000 grant was given to the Arab American Action Network, founded by anti-Semitic spokesman for the PLO and Yasser Arafat, Rashid Khalidi. Those are the friends that Obama had prior to his election. Any wonder William Ayers was turned back at the Canadian border? I'm surprised he wasn't sitting there on the dais listening to some music by Bono. But apparently he was on a way to give an important lecture on how to overthrow Western civilization, whatever's left of it. There it is, 1-800-449-825. William Ayers turned back at Canadian border. You heard it first on the Savage Nation. It's on michaelsavage.com. Little-known story that the little people in the media, the Lilliputians, won't report. I have other good ones today. Believe me, many others. Oh, by the way, look, this is the important thing for you to remember today. Here's the reason you're listening. Take this home. I, Michael Savage, do not give you the news. You can get that anywhere else. In other words, if you're listening to this show, you've already been on Drudge. You've been on the other sites, WND. You've been on my website. They're wonderful websites. I don't give you the news. You can get that in 2 minutes anywhere else on the web. What I do is I tell you how to think about the news. What I do is I tell you what to think about the major news stories. I deconstruct, I reconstruct, and I construct my vision of America through the news stories. That's what you're tuning in for. So make no mistake about it. I don't give you the news. You can get that on the web. I tell you how to think about the news and what to think about the major news stories. And that's what you tune in for.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
I am the Lord thy God.
Starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. We are shaped by every language and culture. Not only to create new jobs, but to lay a new foundation for growth. We will build the roads and bridges, the electric grids and digital lines that feed our commerce and bind us together.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God.
All right, you get the picture. Okay, he thought he was in the Ten Commandments. Welcome to the Savage Nation. You know, my fear of crowds goes back to my childhood. I remember as a little child being taken to parades by my mother, and I always feared parades because I looked up at the faces of the people as the parade went by, and I saw weirdness on the faces of people in the parade, in the crowd now. And what I was seeing as a child without understanding it were the faces of mass hysteria. Mass hysteria is the operational phrase for today, because Obama has induced mass hysteria with help from the media and Hollywood. Now, I don't want to make a comparison to Leni Riefenstahl and Adolf Hitler, because there's no comparison in terms of politics. However, in terms of manipulating the masses, there is a comparison. Only my fear is that even Hitler didn't have the TV media at that time, while Obama does. And I think that explains in part the Obama mania that we were witnessing. In 1841, there was a British journalist named Charles Mackey. And he wrote a book entitled The Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. I want to read the title of that book again, 1841. The Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. And what he was writing about was a phenomenon of the 1630s in Holland called tulipomania. Tulipomania may have been the first recorded advent of a speculative bubble. And what happened was the Dutch were bidding on the prices of tulips higher and higher and higher until tulips, the bulbs, started to sell for as much as 10 times what the average worker in Holland made. Now, anyone who has such madness in them, based upon tulipomania in that case, can understand what I'm talking about here. Here we have a man trumpeted as the next Messiah. I heard a local talk show host in San Francisco as I was driving home from the studio last night, whose name rhymes with Queen, going on and on about how Barack Obama was as good as FDR and Lincoln and JFK combined. Now, I can't believe this because the man hasn't yet been president. I have no idea how they can compare an unknown man to FDR and Lincoln and JFK. I thought that a man was judged after he became president by his policies and by his performance, not before. But you see, tulipomania was based upon the madness of crowds and popular delusions. Obamamania is also based upon the madness of crowds and popular delusions. The gays have gone crazy for Obama. The blacks have gone crazy for Obama. The hard left has gone crazy for Obama. And that includes just about everybody in the midstream media. And I am telling you that we are on the verge of an unknown. It is a black box where we are going, and I don't mean that in any racial sense. I mean in the sense of a black box. Nobody knows what this man is going to do because nobody knows what he stands for unless you look at his voting record. And if you look at his voting record, you should be very frightened indeed. He is the most far-left senator in American history. And here, because of George Bush and John McCain, we have the most far-left president in American history thrust upon the American people. And I want to ask you today a few questions on the Savage Nation. I want to ask you a few questions. If you are a conservative, what do you most fear about the Obama administration? What do you fear most that he might do? And liberals, if you're listening to the Savage Nation, as I know many of you do, what really are your greatest hopes for the Obama administration? Because I don't see any hope here. I see hype. Where you see hope, I see hype. Where I see hype, you see hope. And believe me, I can look through it and see it the way it is. You just are a little slower than I am in seeing hype. For example, maybe I'll surprise you with this one. Today, Dick Cheney appeared in a wheelchair, which I thought was remarkable. They claim he pulled a muscle in his back. But what's amazing about it is that not only was he in a wheelchair, but he made himself look frail and crumpled up. For a second, a fleeting second, I thought Cheney was imitating FDR. I thought, here is a power-mad lunatic, Dr. Strangelove, for many of you, who was so obsessed with losing power and losing power to an upstart liberal at that, that he took on the mantle of FDR to almost grab some of the spotlight. But it got crazier than that. Cheney was wheeled to his bulletproof limousine after all of the hoopla, and strangely enough, he spryly jumped into the limousine on his own. So help me God, that's what I saw. Cheney was wheeled looking frail and crippled, blanket over his legs like FDR. But the minute he was wheeled up to the door of the limo, I don't know if anyone saw this, but me. See, I see when the king has no clothes. He hopped spryly into the limousine. It was an act, in my opinion. Now, one of the reasons he did it was because his power was lost. Another reason was he wanted to create sympathy for himself so he's not called up on war crimes charges or such. That's what I believe Cheney was doing today. There were some other interesting phenomena today at the coronation. The most interesting to me was the vying for the spotlight by Dianne Feinstein. I don't know who else saw this, but there wasn't one person in the media who saw what I'm about to tell you went on. It was shortly after the speech. Bush was sort of leading a procession out of the speech area to wherever they go. And strangely enough, behind him was Dianne Feinstein, and trailing him was Barack Obama. When Barack Obama sped up by foot and with a thrust of his hips to the right, pushed Dianne Feinstein out of the way and took his rightly place behind George Bush. I think the woman is crazy. I think the madness of Dianne Feinstein, the power madness, you know, Lord Acton said power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Dianne Feinstein is absolutely corrupt, and she's absolutely insane. Now, earlier on, I don't know if you noticed this, when Obama was walking towards the podium, Dianne Feinstein was crawling right up his tailpipe. She was behind him, inches behind him, not feet behind him, so much so that a Marine guard had to intervene between Obama and Dianne Feinstein. What in the world do you think Dianne Feinstein was saying with her body language today. There were some other interesting statements today that were very worrisome, by the way. When Barack Obama said, "We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, pause, and Jews," I almost fell out of my chair. So far as I know it, this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and values, not on Muslim Christian values. Now, what was he trying to say to us? I guess he was paying homage to his own 50% of his own faith. You notice today that the name Barack Hussein Obama came up only once, and it depended upon where you were. It depended upon where you were at the time. Is he Barack Hussein Obama, or is it Barack Obama? Is it B-H-O or B-O?
Savage.
It's not that we're not a nation of all of these faiths. It is the relative ranking of these faiths that is immediately to be noted. This was a nation not founded by Muslims and Christians. It was founded by Christians who built their faith upon the cornerstones of the Jewish faith, not upon the cornerstone of the Hindu faith or the Muslim faith or the Buddhist faith or upon the faithlessness of the atheists. It was built upon the faith of Christians. Obama knows this, so he's already sending a message. Now, over the next days, weeks, and months, until he tries to put talk radio out of business, which inevitably will come. It'll come in one form or another. It will not come directly from him, because I have studied the causes of revolution in the politics of Aristotle. I studied it in college, and I know how the tyrant works. The tyrant never looks like a tyrant. The tyrant never acts like the tyrant. The tyrant never does the things that he has other people do. No, it will not come from him. He will not do that at all. In fact, he will be the opposite of nearly everything which you describe as characteristic of tyrants. He will do the opposite. He will definitely do the opposite. He will have the mean of his party do the bidding for him. The little mean-spirited men and women of the Democrat Party will be very happy to breed mutual distrust in America and try to snuff out dissent. Now, it's interesting that Obama said that he wanted the foreign governments and this and that to respect dissent. Well, I certainly hope that he respects dissent in the United States of America. I kind of doubt it, because I believe that he has such power right now that this would-be tyrant has such a monopoly over the political system. He has such a monopoly over the political system that he will act as a sovereign, not as a president. So again, I ask you, if you are for or again, what do you fear the most about Obama, and what do you hope the most that Obama will do? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. America is no longer a Christian nation. Well, is that something to be celebrated? That's something we should celebrate? America is no longer a Christian nation? What is this nation? The HBO nation? Is this a nation of degenerates? A television nation? Hollywood nation? What is it? He says, "I think that the right might worry a bit more about the dangers of sectarianism." He said, "Whatever we once were, we're no longer just a Christian nation." That was on the Christian Broadcast Network last year. He said, "We're also a nation of non-believers," he wrote in an email to Christian Broadcasting Network senior national correspondent David Brody. Well, that's very interesting that he would make a point of that. So here we go. Let's take the callers on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Michael. First, let me say I'm honored to be speaking with you. Now, I didn't vote for Obama, but I believe that he has to be a good president because the focus of history is upon him, you know. If he makes any mistakes, you know, that's it. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. But
What you're saying is he's going to be a great president because he has to be a great president?
I hope he will be a great president, but yeah, because...
Well, of course you hope he will be. We all hope he will be. But what is the likelihood of him being a great president when all of his voting was so far to the left that it was out of the ken of even the Democrat Party? The Democrat Party was rather moderate compared to this man's voting record.
You know,
think about it. Think about that. Think about what I'm saying to you. Think about what I am saying to you. We have three principles to which the ordinary policies of tyrants may be reduced. One, to breed mutual distrust among their subjects. Two, to make them incapable of action. And three, to break their spirits. That's according to Aristotle's Politics. To breed mutual distrust among the subjects. Two, to make them incapable of action. And three, to break their spirits. That's all. Just notice what I'm telling you. Just notice what I'm telling you and watch the bouncing ball. Don't listen to the empty skirts in the media. The empty skirts in the media are the reason we have this upstart, unknown nobody as president of the United States of America. They've already compared him to Lincoln, FDR, and JFK when the man had not even taken office. If that is not the equivalent of mass hysteria, if that's not an equivalent of herd mentality, and what's interesting to me is that it's coming from these liberals who think that they're free thinkers. Free thinkers espousing a herd mentality of mass hysteria. How could he be as great as all these presidents when he's not even taken the oath of office till today? Tulipomania, my friends. Tulipomania, my friends. Tulipomania, my friends. Tulipomania, my friends. The Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, written in 1841. 1-800-449-8255. I mean, I'm not going to talk about fumbling on the presidential oath. We've all seen that. We're not going to talk about the others. Kennedy suffers a seizure at an inaugural lunch. Or the Ku Klux Klan member, Robert Byrd, taking himself to a doctor. I mean, they're old sick men, and that's it. They got sick, they got excited, and they got sick. Savage. Savage Nation, we're talking about Obama's mixed race heritage and why they keep referring to him as the first black president. We're talking about Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which I think should be called Civil Rights Day. We're talking about Bush commuting the sentences of Ramos and Campi and the Border Patrol agents who were arrested and tried and unfairly given a 12-year or more sentence for doing their job of chasing a drug dealer. And, of course, we're also talking about the music. I mean, I played Beethoven's Ninth, and we talked about that on the show today. I also mentioned that here we are in the middle of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression, and $170 million or more is being spent on the coronation of Barack Obama. $170 million. It's a lot of porta potties. Houston, Texas. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I think that anybody should spend their money in the way they want to. It's good for the economy, I think. Hello?
It's good for the economy. It's good for the economy. But there's something wrong with your thinking. Why would employees at banks, brokerages, and Wall Street firms donate $7 million to Barack Obama's coronation?
Well, it's all, one hand washes the other, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one hand washes the other. It's called payola.
That's what Paul, sure.
So, in other words, it's not really it's good for the economy. It's good for selected people in the economy.
Right. The other thing is the Bush commuted the sentences where these people are going to get out March 20th. He should have pardoned them. That's what he should have done.
I agree with you on that. I certainly agree with you on that, but he didn't want to. He wanted to give them still wanted to leave them with a black eye,
Yep. I see you're over by Clay Lacy.
Yeah, you see the picture of me with the Clay Lacy airplane?
Yeah, you can go for a ride in Crazy Horse. It's down in Florida. It's a P-51. It's got two seats in it. And
I had Clay Lacy on the show on Thursday or Friday. Everyone missed that. I'm surprised you didn't hear that. Thanks for the call. Besides Wall Street firms, a lot of money came from companies such as Microsoft, Google, and DreamWorks. Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer and his wife Connie each gave $50,000. Bill Gates and his wife Melinda each gave $50,000. DreamWorks CEO Jeff Katzenberg and his so-called wife, Marilyn, each gave $50,000. Filmmaker and DreamWorks co-founder and man swindled by Bernie Madoff, Steven Spielberg, and his wife, Kate, also both gave $50,000. Billionaire investor George Soros gave $250,000 to the inauguration. Now, why would they do this? Other big-name donors who gave $50,000 include filmmaker George Lucas, Dodgers president Jamie McCourt, Citigroup managing director Raymond McGuire, Oracle president Charles Phillips Jr., Halle Berry and Sharon Stone. She still has $50,000, Sharon Stone, left over from the marriage? Melvin Simon, co-founder of Simon Property Group, the largest mall owner in the United States, gave $50,000. Why is that? What do you think they're going to get from it? That's a lot of money, my friends. You'd think the left would be screaming bloody murder about it, but they're saying nothing. You know how it works. All right, you know, we're going to sit here with sour grapes. So he won. Now what? He's going to bring change. Yeah, change. Everyone around is a Clintonite. Some change. Alternate energy. Again, get out the violent alternate energy. You mean his limousine runs on banana peels? You mean Air Force One's going to be running on banana peels? Alternate energy. God, you people are gullible. God, you're gullible. I have clean-burning diesel. What do you need alternate energy for? Works like a charm. My older boat is a stink pot. The newer boat, the little one with the three-cylinder Yanmar, is clean as a whistle. No smoke, no noise. I play Billy Bones on the boat the dog hates. He's scared to death of the little boat, the 20-footer. I don't know what he's afraid of. He likes the big boat, doesn't get scared. The little boat, he sits there shaking the whole time. I talk to him about it.